Voters across the European Union will go to the polls in just a few weeks to elect more than 700 members to the European Parliament. The elections are a test of whether the far-right populist and nationalist ideas that we've seen in the United States and around the world will continue to grow in popularity. And now many are looking to Spain's general election held at the end of April as a bellwether of the EU vote. Even though Spain's Socialist Party still got the most votes, the elections were also a relatively strong showing for the country's far-right movement. The nationalist Vox Party got 10% of the vote.
What's significant is the fact that there hasn't been a far-right party in Spain since the end of the Franco dictatorship in the 1970s.
Anne Applebaum is a Pulitzer Prize-winning historian and a columnist for The Washington Post, and she says the looming question is whether far-right leaders across Europe will capitalize on the Spanish elections to put their stamp on continent-wide policies.
People thought that Spain was somehow immune to the far right, you know, that they'd had fascism, they'd had dictatorship, and they were just wary of the issues of Francoism and the symbols of Francoism coming back. But the success of Vox, which is still, it's only 10%, I don't want to exaggerate it, but it is proof that the memory of Franco and the kind of taboo has been lost.
Now let's talk a little bit about the party itself. This is a new and emerging party, I understand. And what are the parameters of their ideology?
It's interesting. In the spectrum of the European far right, it's a little different from some of the others. It has emerged partly as a reaction to, you may remember, the Catalan separatist crisis of some months ago. And the party, it wants to kind of reaffirm Spain and Spanish nationalism and the unity of the nation. So that's a specific Spanish issue. It's also an anti-feminist party, or maybe a feminist skeptic party. And it's brought up several issues that will be familiar to Americans who know how the Christian right works in this country. And that's a little bit more unusual in Europe, to have a party that's very specifically focused on those kinds of issues. It's a kind of backlash to social liberalism. Like other far-right parties, it is anti-immigration, or more specifically anti-Muslim immigration, anti-illegal immigration, which actually until now has not been thought to be a huge issue in Spain. And also it did something interesting, which is it picked up on some issues that nobody really knew mattered, like gun rights, which I think they've borrowed from the United States. And it matters to a very tiny number of vocal Spaniards, and, you know, support for some traditional sports like bullfighting, which is also, some people now question whether it's humane. So they kind of put together a package of issues in an interesting way. I mean, it used to be that parties had single ideologies, but Vox is really a composite of several things that they saw as being underrated or underrepresented in Spain.
You mentioned the Catalan separatist movement, which is something that for many, many, many decades has been sort of emerging. But it is obviously something that's of real importance now. Is Vox, does it have a demographic profile? Does it have a geographic profile? Because there are some in Catalonia who would say Catalonia should be separate, but yet there are others who think that it should be, you know, continue to be part of Spain. And does Vox have roots in that region?
So Catalonia has a kind of specific set of politics and political parties, and I don't think Vox had a huge echo there. Its most important echo and its most important kind of demographic is younger men. I think I saw a statistic between 35 and 45. Younger men are its biggest numbers. And these are often people who would have been affected by the financial crisis of a decade ago, and who, although they may be back in work now, Spanish economy is now growing, may still harbor resentment or feel loss over that. And as I mentioned before, this is a party that takes very specifically, it takes aim at Spanish feminism, at some of the, you know, there's a particular law on domestic violence that the party dislikes, and it is seeking to appeal to younger men. And I mean, some of the imagery, you know, is very, you know, there's a Make Spain Great Again video that was quite notorious.
Sabrás que estás logrando hacer a España grande otra vez.
The party leaders had themselves filmed on horseback, riding across the southern Spain in a reenactment of the Reconquista, you know, the Spanish, when the Spanish pushed back the Muslims out of southern Spain. So there is a kind of masculine imagery that they've used very successfully.
How effective is Vox? And what I mean by that is, how much are they resonating with the Spaniards right now?
we just had an election and they won 10%. And having gone from 0 to 10%, that was a big change. You know, they didn't party that didn't exist 3 years ago at the time of the last parliamentary election is now in parliament. They had enormous amount of success online. Their Twitter following, their Instagram following was all much bigger and more enthusiastic than almost any other party in Spain. And so I think people were expecting them to do even better than that. But what looks like what happened is that their enthusiasm, their loudness, their sometimes their aggressive tactics, their use of sometimes very angry language also seems to have sparked a backlash. And so paradoxically, the party that seems to have benefited the most from Vox being in the election is the Spanish center left. It gained more votes. The center left prime minister will now stay in power. In a way, it was almost as if the emergence of this far-right party scared others kind of back into the center, back towards a party that's talking about, you know, economic issues and not so much these kind of identity issues that Vox was focusing on. So it clearly speaks to some people. It's a new party. It's got a lot of enthusiastic supporters, but it also caused others to think twice and think maybe actually what they wanted was something much more centrist and familiar.
We know that EU parliamentary elections are coming up in a couple of weeks. Is Vox and or other far-right parties trying to coordinate ahead of these elections?
Yes, we see them coordinating online. I mean, there's absolutely no question they're doing that. And that's coming both from the parties, but also from what I would call the international alt-right. So these are kind of online activists, some organized and coordinated in ways that people who do analytics of these things have been following, some just, some just voluntary and some spontaneous. But in addition to that, yeah, the far-right leaders of Italy and of France, the Hungarian prime minister, have been meeting, they've been coordinating, they've been talking about working together after the elections. Historically, the far-right parties have kind of splintered up into little tiny groups inside the European Parliament, and now they seem to be trying to form a single party or at least two parties. You know, the difficulty will be for them finding a common agenda. Some of them are very pro-Russian. Some of them, like the Poles, for example, are very anti-Russian. They have different emphases depending on where they're from. I mean, the obsession with Muslim immigration in Southern Europe or in France or Germany has a weird echo in Eastern Europe where there aren't any Muslims. So they don't have exactly the same issues everywhere. But what they're finding is these, for the first time, kind of themes. And mostly these themes are to do not with economics, but with identity.
Anne Applebaum is a columnist for The Washington Post and a professor of practice at the London School of Economics. Anne, thank you.
Thank you.